Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning on this Trinity Sunday, which is also Father's Day. And as we think about that, the celebration of fatherhood, and also, too, as we think about the Trinity and God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so we come to celebrate the gift of life through fatherhood and the gift of life that comes to us through God the Father. And welcome to our worship service here at St. Paul's this morning. If you're a visitor, you'll notice there are some blue cards in our pews, and if you would be willing just to fill out so we could get to know you a little bit better, you're welcome and invited to do so. And also, too, there are yellow cards there for any prayer requests that you would like to have brought up before the Lord as we would close our service this morning. You may fill in one of those as well. Just also, too, as a matter of detail here with our worship service, we don't have video portion this morning, and so you're going to need the little insert for In Christ Alone. If you don't have one, just raise your hand and the ushers will get you one, but the rest of our service is right in our bulletin, and so we just have to follow through from that. If you look at the yellow insert this morning, we have a number of announcements this morning, and the first one is that today our youth will be serving donuts after the service as a fundraiser. They'll be heading to Estes Park in Colorado in just a few weeks, and if you would participate in that, you're welcome to do so this morning. And then tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we have our monthly coffee and conversation right here at the church, and so everyone's invited to come to join in with that, and always a fun time, and also a time of fellowship, and there's usually some pretty unhealthy snack to eat at that as well. On Wednesday, that you'll notice our youth group is going to be meeting in Ridgewood Park, and there's more of that on the back of this insert. If those of you are youth, you want to follow along and join in on that. And then this Thursday, we have at 7 o'clock, a baby shower for Ethan Cornan. And again, everyone's invited to that. And I see the Cornans are here this morning. And there's a number of new dads in our congregation this year. And so we can celebrate with them in many ways. Bible school or vacation Bible school is coming up rather quickly. And on the back of our insert, there's a matter of there are some more details about Vacation Bible School. I'm going to invite Tori Fugelberg to come up at this time, please.
Hey, I'm just going to clarify some things for Vacation Bible School. It is about a week away now. Next Sunday at 5:30, we will start with our supper and move into our VBS. We have our Alphabus team that will be heading up here that day as well. They are pretty excited. We're all really excited, but we do need a couple more things of help. We have almost all of our meals covered for the supper, except for the Tuesday night meal. So if anyone would be willing to make some food for that tonight, I think we're planning on serving around 50 people, a little bit more. That'd be super helpful. You can let me know or just fill out on the sign-up sheet out there, or Pam, but I think she's out of office this week. So probably me or anyone on the Christian Ed Committee. We're also looking for some high school or adult helpers to help out with our crews. And basically all you are doing there is kind of taking along the Alphabus students, the Bible school students will be teaching our classes, so you don't need to learn anything. Just be there to help get kids where they're going, make sure no one gets lost, help them go to the bathroom or anything like that. So super easy job. Just want some adults present to keep our kids in line and not wander away. We're also having some decorating days coming up, both this Wednesday from 5 to 9 here at church and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. or whenever we finish. On Saturday, we will also have lunch provided for anyone who's around that time. So feel free to jump in the morning that day or just whenever you can, stop by and we'll give you some projects to work on. That should be everything. So let us know if you guys can help out with anything, and we are so thankful for all that you guys have already done with all the donations and just praying for all of the kids coming up, so thank you.
Thank you, Tori. I was thinking, too, about Father's Day, that there are so many that are spiritual fathers to so many of us, and thank you to all of those, and we can think back to any time in our life where the Lord has put a spiritual father in our presence as a role model, and we want to celebrate that today as well. At that, I'm going to read from Psalm 84, verses 1, 2, and 4, at our call to worship this morning. How lovely are thy dwelling places, O Lord of hosts! My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. How blessed are those who dwell in thy house. They are ever praising thee. This morning we're going to sing all the verses of Holy, Holy, Holy. And may we rise and join in singing our opening hymn, number 134.
You to keep standing as we continue worship with Psalm 86:10. You are great and do wondrous things. Thou art God alone.
Number 510 in your hymnals, How Great Thou Art. Singing all four verses today.
Gladly bearing, he bled and died then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives. In Christ alone our hope is found. That's on your Instagram.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by dark slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, but with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from
be seated.
We're told in Hebrews chapter 5 that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And there we are encouraged to hold fast to our confession, not just our confession of faith, but we can come before our God, God our Father, and confess our sin. Would you join together as we would confess our sin this morning? And you'll find that printed in our bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to confess to you that we have grievously sinned and fallen short of your glory. We have not loved you above all things or our neighbor as ourselves. We confess these and other sins to you and look to you in faith for your forgiveness and cleansing. Grant to us your mercy and grace and help us to live our lives in the way that most honors you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Our Lord Jesus Christ forgives you, forgives me of all our sins. In his glorious name, amen." At this time, I'm going to ask Caleb Peterson to come forward and read our scripture lessons for the day.
The first reading for today is from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 through 31. Please rise for the reading of God's word. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man." The second reading is from John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. John chapter 16, beginning with verse 12. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Here ends the reading.
If you'd remain standing, please, and turn into our bulletin insert, the yellow page, and you'll find there our confession of faith. Again, this Sunday, we're going to be confessing the words of the Nicene Creed. May we join together, one of heart, as we make this statement of our faith. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated, please. And at this time, I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward as we... Lord, how good it is to trust in you. That, Lord, daily you prove your trustworthiness to us and that you provide everything that we need. Lord, you even give us the desires of our hearts. Your word tells us when we delight in you. Lord, would you continue to bend our hearts to love and desire those things that are pleasing unto you. Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving. We just ask, Lord, that you would bless each one who was given here this morning. And Father, you would continue to pour forth upon our lives your grace. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'm going to call Hannah Williams for special music this morning. Thank you, Hannah. Hannah is filling in for her sister, Sarah, on, I think, a rather short notice. And we just thank you for being a part of our worship this morning. Our message this morning comes from Romans chapter 5. If you want to turn there, we'll be looking at the first five verses of Romans chapter 5. I was thinking as I was preparing this message of... some of the people that have been important in my life, and I imagine all of us have those individuals. In fact, I think at a very early age, we start to realize those folks who have a great impact in our lives. And I would guess for most of us, it's probably our parents or grandparents or maybe another family member. And as we grow older, there may be a sporting coach or a school teacher that may have a had a great influence, or maybe currently is having a large influence in our lives. And then as I'm growing older, I'm starting to appreciate surgeons more and the life-changing work they can do to try and restore a little bit back to what it once was. And I think some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And but somewhere also, too, along that way, a spouse comes into our chapter of life and has a great influence in us in many different ways. And we just keep going through life. But you know, I think some of those people who have had the most influence in our lives or are currently having a lot of influence in our lives are just silently in the background. Certainly there are those who may have brought about an event that might have been a life-changing event, but often the work of having change in our lives is done quietly. I think of another group of people that have probably a great change in our lives and we don't even realize it, and that's those brothers and sisters in Christ who have been praying for us for a long, long time. But there's three other persons that we perhaps don't think of very often who have had a great effect in terms of change in our lives. And the Apostle Paul reminds us of those three persons, and it's the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And would you rise with me, please? We're going to read just the first five verses of Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And we're going to do so in Jesus' name. As the Apostle Paul writes, he says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who comes and works in us that we can hear your word and come to comprehend it. Lord, we thank you that it's by your Son, Jesus Christ, that we have that working of the Spirit. And so, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated, please. The Apostle Paul begins here in chapter 5, and really what he's doing, he's kind of giving a summary introduction of what's to come in the next four chapters. And he uses the word therefore, and when he uses the word therefore, he's not only giving us a sneak preview of what's to come, but he's also summarizing of what all he's been talking about in this letter that we know as the letter to the Romans, the church in Rome. And Paul speaks forth that wonderful event, and that wonderful word is therefore having been justified. And what does that mean now in the life of an individual believer, of having been justified? And it's that theological term that we have that describes a decision that God has made, and not only a decision, but a declaration that God has made from his judicial bench, or the throne of heaven, that when a person has been brought to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, something comes out of that faith, and that is that God declares that person now justified. That person is now right in relationship with God the Father. God has made that declaration from heaven. Nothing has really changed in that individual's life, nothing physically anyway. Something has changed in that person's heart, but if you and I were to see that born-again, freshly born-again individual, we wouldn't notice any difference in that person. If we had gone to work with them on Monday, and let's say they went to some kind of meeting on Monday night, whether it's a tent revival meeting or something, but somewhere in that few hours between when you saw them Monday and when you see them Tuesday morning, that they came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God now declares that one justified. Therefore, having been justified, God has done something. It says justified. It's nothing we have done. It's something that has taken place in heaven because of what has taken place on the cross of Calvary. And the Lord's Holy Spirit has taken that work of Christ on the cross. And only by his miraculous work that we really can't understand, we can try to explain it. God takes that shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, and he applies that blood to the sinner who comes to believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for me. And the instant that happened, God says, I now declare that one not guilty. That one is justified in the sight of God. And Paul is saying there's changes now that come into that individual's life. But on Tuesday morning, if we were to see that person, we probably wouldn't know that when they walked in the door, oh, that one, he was justified last night. But over time, as the Lord works, we start to see in that individual changes taking place. Perhaps the garbage mouth starts to be used less and less. Perhaps the temper starts to wane a little bit, and that person starts to grow with patience. And the self-centeredness fades away, and all of a sudden that person is more concerned about his fellow man, and even less complaining about the job. The job didn't change, but something has changed in that individual. Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith or out of faith, something now takes place in that relationship. And what Paul says is the Spirit is leading him to write this. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. It could also be translated as, therefore, having been justified by faith, let us have peace with God. In other words, now we start to see God in a little bit different light because God now looks upon us as a sinner saved by the blood of my Son. That God is at peace with that sinner. Of that the warfare has ended, as it says there in Isaiah chapter 40, I believe. When Isaiah speaks about comfort, comfort my people. Tell Jerusalem that her warfare has ended. Dear sinners, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the moment that God declares us justified, we have peace with God. Our warfare has ended, that we are now in an entirely different relationship with God himself, God the Father, that God no longer looks upon us and sees us as sinners, that wretched sinner that we are. But all by his grace, he looks upon us and he sees in the individual who has come to believe in Jesus Christ a saint, someone who's no longer guilty, someone who's no longer under the condemnation of the law, as we read earlier after our confession of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Dear one, are you living in that today? Are you living in that intimacy of that relationship that God has now established with you? Not a relationship of laws, of do's and don'ts, not that we still don't sin, but in how God sees us. And Paul is now saying, let us have peace with God. Let us see God in a different light of not that taskmaster with all sorts of rules and things we have to obey, but let us have peace with God, that our relationship has changed with God. Everything has changed with our Father in heaven. We can now call him our Father in heaven, that he's no longer God, that God that we see as a sinner, the God who's going to judge us. That God who might be, we see him as being angry with us, or this God who has put all sorts of things into our lives to make our lives miserable, but we have to obey all of his laws and everything that would just put that pressure on us and that sense of guilt. Friend, are you still living with that sense of guilt in your life? Do you go to bed at night thinking of all the things, kind of going through a roster of everything that you've done wrong in the day? And then trying to work through that and then promising yourself, tomorrow I'm going to do a better job of all that stuff? And thinking that that is what's going to change your relationship with the God of heaven? Friend, are you living with that assurance of salvation? Not wondering, am I going to go to heaven or trying to put a number on? Let's see, maybe I'm about 80% sure I'm going to go to heaven. Friend, if you are going through those kind of thoughts, unless you're going to bed at night and waking up knowing that where you are going to spend eternity, then the Lord would beckon you through his word this morning to think through what he is saying here through the Apostle Paul of what God wants to communicate to you, that therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Not that we might have it in the future, or that it's only for certain individuals of a certain age, or for people who have done certain things, enough things right, and have eliminated enough bad things in their lives, that somehow through that mix of the things that we might do, that God's going to look upon me and say, yep, I'm going to let that one into heaven. No, the Lord says, therefore, having been justified by faith, let us have peace with God. That this peace is now ours to have, yours to have. Therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary, that victory of Easter morning, that we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That God has poured forth his grace in the person of Jesus Christ. God the Father sent his one and only begotten Son that we might have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, and not only this, but he says, let us exalt or through Christ, whom also we have this access into this grace in which we stand. There isn't as much wheat grown anymore here in the northern plains. Back before seminary, that was part of my job in the seed business. We used to try and sell wheat, and we never sold enough, and that's why they're no longer in the wheat business. But sometimes I would be out on a call and to go out into a wheat field, and you go out into a quarter section of wheat or two quarter sections of just solid wheat and start walking around, and all of a sudden you just find yourself, you're just surrounded by wheat or small grains. This is the kind of image God wants us to think about when he says here through this word that not only this, but through Christ, through whom we have access into this grace in which we stand. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are standing in a field of grace. It doesn't end with our salvation. No, God begins his outpouring of grace with our salvation. You and I in Christ, we just stand bathed in God's grace. We've been given this introduction into his grace when he declared us justified through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. But we now live, breathe, eat, work, play, and yes, we even die in his grace. For we stand in His grace. We are always in His grace. This is what God wants for His people, for all people. He wants us to always be standing in His grace. He wants us to be creatures that are recipients of the outpouring of His grace. This is why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, not to be people living in burdened with sin, but to be living by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul says, therefore, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And when we come to realize this, that we stand in God's grace, we've been saved by grace, we are supplied with God's grace, everything we have is by God's grace. I visited one of our elderly members here last week. It's just a pure joy. And I was going out the door, this elderly member of our congregation says, you know, this is all a gift. It sure is. And he wasn't just talking about his surroundings in the nursing home. But everything we have, and everything even that we don't have that we've asked for, it's all a gift. And when we come to realize that, Paul says, let us exult in hope of the glory of God. Or maybe our Bible say, let us rejoice. In other words, let's just celebrate of who we are in Christ, and we can exult in hope. We are now a people of hope. Not the hope of this world or as the world defines hope, but hope in the glory of God. That glory that never changes, that glory that came in the person of Jesus Christ, John writes about that, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Dear one, what do you hope in this morning? Are you hoping in a higher salary? Are you hoping in a better education? And those are all good. But Paul says, let us rejoice. Let us exult in the hope, in the glory of God. That glory will never change. And so our hope then is placed on something solid, not just for this lifetime, but for an eternity of what God has for us. And then he says there's another change that comes into the life of a person who is justified, a person that is now at peace with God. Which, by the way, also can translate into having peace in our relationship with other people. Well, friends, there's nothing better for the soul than to be at peace with God. There's a lot of stuff that can come into this life, and none of that can change my relationship with God, my Father, because it's not based on what I've done or will do, but what Christ has already done for me. And so Paul says, because of this, and not only this, he said, but we also exult in our tribulations. At the moment we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we also get somebody else, not just something else, but we get somebody else. When we bring our little babies up forward here to the baptismal fountain, and we see that baby, we hear the word, and we see the water being poured on that baby's forehead, and we hear the word of God, and there's something very miraculous taking place there. And that God is calling that little baby justified. That little diaper-messing kid, God says, I justify that one. Because Jesus died for him. And Jesus defeated sin and death for that one, for her. But that little baby gets somebody else. That little baby gets the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Not a little bit, not a half of it, but all of it, 100% of the Spirit of the living God. All of that in just those few seconds that it takes for a baptism that takes place. And because of that Holy Spirit now abiding in that individual, whether it's a two-day-old baby or an 80-year-old person that's come to finally believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, not only that, not only do we rejoice and exult in the hope of the glory of God, but we take on a whole different look, an out viewpoint of our tribulations. Because God starts to do something in our tribulations that we can now see because of the abiding Holy Spirit who was poured out into our hearts. He says we exult in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. We live in an ever-changing world that is trying to stamp out Christianity. If we believe the Word of God, they'll never get it done. Because the more tribulations that come, the greater the perseverance. That's why Jesus says, when it comes to the church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so as tribulations come, the church grows stronger. It doesn't necessarily grow in number, but it grows stronger. And Paul says that we rejoice because in tribulation, it brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And he says here in verse 5, he says, and hope does not disappoint. Friends, we will never be disappointed. We will never be put to shame. We're not going to stand at the gates of heaven someday, and God says, no, I changed my mind. Or no, if you did this or you didn't do that. No, hope does not disappoint. And we have that assurance because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us as a gift. We have come and tasted and we've seen that the Lord is good. And we've come to experience firsthand his great love. We know what God's love in Christ feels like. We know the outcome of God's life and love in Christ Jesus. We know that God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son. We know what it is to be loved by God because we are at peace with God all through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we have this hope, and this hope will never disappoint us, never. And so we can rejoice no matter what comes in this life, because I have been justified by God through faith in my Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, may we go forth in this working of the three persons of the Trinity, not just on the day of our salvation, but every day of our lives, until we get to meet them eyeball to eyeball in God's eternal glory. Amen. Our close.